welcome to The Christ Life. We are glad that you're joining us again today. In fact, it's our prayer that certainly in this series, you've started at the big picture and you've been with us along throughout the way as we talked about, you know, when you understand the big picture that we are created more than just for the here and now. We still have to live in the here and now. But when you step back and you get the panoramic view, you know, if you take a I like my iPhone and it's got the pan picture that you can press it down and you can start doing this. When you start to get this picture of eternity past and eternity future and that we're moving toward this reality, even while we're in this current reality, we're looking towards that. We're getting that panoramic view. It motivates you. You got, man, I look forward to that. I want to move toward that. But not only do we want to just move toward that, it motivates us for the here and now. It begins to make a big difference in our own life and then makes a big difference in the impact that we have. And of course, then we're going to look at today at the big finish. And there are so many different ways to illustrate the big finish. And, because first and foremost, not a finish. It's a mile marker. It's just kind of this moment where we cross from here to there and there's still so much more. When I think about people that don't want to die, maybe you know someone that they just didn't want to die. They loved Jesus and they just didn't want to die. You ever know people like that? I think that's healthy. I think there's a beauty in that because it illustrates something that is inside of us called life. And when years ago, the Lord gave me this picture of people like this, that if you've ever had a two-year-old, what two-year-old ever went, yes, it's nap time. But they still had to go down for a nap. Yeah. Why did they have to go down for a nap? Because they were tired. That moment, part of the day had been experienced and physically, they were unable to go any further. Mentally, they were unable to go any further. So they had to be put down for a rest, knowing by the parent that they were going to wake up ready for more life. And when the Lord began to reveal this to me, for when the life comes inside of us, I don't want to die. I enjoy life. I love life because I'm in the middle of life, because I'm in the middle of Christ Jesus. And yet the Lord knows the perfect time to put me down so that I might, as Paul said, race to more life, to greater life. And that's part of the big picture. And so for us, there's the finishing part, but it's not really the finish. We keep going. Well, I start talking about this. I get so excited. I want to get to the scripture part and then we'll let that excitement continue because we're looking at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Paul says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for," listen to these next words, "our blessed hope." In fact, wherever you're at, just say that, our blessed hope. Then he says, "the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." I want you to say those words. The appearing of the glory of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. When we talked about the big picture, we want to come back to the value that we just keep coming back to because we really want it to become your value. And it's simply this, that passion and urgency are an emotional result of understanding time and eternity. You live personally with a passion for Jesus, a passion for being obedient to him. And then there's this urgency to really have the Lord use or to utilize our life in a way that's meaningful, impactful, not for the present age alone, but for the age to come. Because we live looking for the blessed hope to make the appearance, the appearing of the great glorious God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that. That is the finish that we're looking forward to. And you may be at a place where you're running the race and you are just picking this sermon series up for the first time. Well, may this be the spiritual Gatorade along the way in the marathon of life so that you have the energy to finish in a way that God is glorified, that when you go across the line, he looks at you with significant meaning and substance when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your salvation. And so we want to talk a little bit about this coming kingdom, the kingdom that's to come, and the kingdom, or the king of the kingdom.
Yeah, that's a great phrasing for these. Re-saying of the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, is that there is a coming kingdom for which we are hoping and we are moving toward, but that kingdom will come. The day will come. Christ is coming. He is going to set foot upon the earth again and establish a kingdom. And so the kingdom is coming for us. And so we believe that. And the king is coming. And it's powerful. He will rule and reign. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we should all break into the hallelujah,
amen.
The hallelujah chorus, because this is a motivator. This is an excitement. This is the passion that builds in us, because we love the Lord and we are looking for that. Let me remind you that after the whole of the revelation of John's life, and after the whole life of his ministry, his excitement and enthusiasm at the end of the writing of the Revelation is, even so, come, Lord Jesus, do it now. You know, okay, I'm good. Let's go. Let's get this done. That's that sense of passion for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we understand that this hope is blessed to us, that we have a blessed hope. And the blessed hope is that the coming kingdom is the kingdom of Christ, that we are on the right side. Well, that's what makes it blessed. I was just talking with somebody today in a kind of an early morning prayer gathering, and it was an interesting little phrase that he was using. And he said, you know, the good news isn't really good news if it's received a day too late. It's really not good news. You know, oh, there was this great sale. They had all these kind of things, and they were almost giving them away yesterday. Thanks for sharing. You know, I'm really encouraged by that. You should have been there. Well, great. That doesn't help me, because good news isn't necessarily good news if it's not delivered on time. And the blessed hope for us is blessed because we're on the right side of this relationship with the King who is coming. And so this is the reality, because we have trusted in Christ, because we have believed in him. We have this passion for his coming, because we hope to hear him say, well done, good, faithful servant. We hope to have him say, wasn't that great? We hope to be able to say, what an adventure this life has been in the Christ life, because we don't just live it with urgency and with a passion. We live it with an urgency as well, because see, right here, right now, I have this opportunity to take everybody else along with me, everybody in my circle of influence, everybody that I have any kind of a chance to connect with in any way, shape, or form. My sense of urgency is just all over this idea that if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. If you don't know he's coming, you need to know he's coming. You know, because the reality is, you're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. That's one of the basic elementary truths of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. And you could probably archive this somewhere along the way, because I think we talked about this. But one of the elementary principles is this principle of the resurrection of all the dead. Everybody is going to be resurrected to some eternal reality. But that reality could be on the right side of the equation, because you trust in Christ, because you've received of his saving mercies and his goodness. Or failing to have received Christ, you could be on the judgmental side of things, where the torment and the agony of that loss and that smoke of that torment ascends forever and forever. What an awful, horrible thing. That's not a blessed hope. That's a grim reality for many people. And so we have to be honest about this truth. And that's what creates the urgency in us, because we understand that the hope is blessed. And for all who believe and receive Christ, it's a marvelous thing. And you want to jump up and down like John and say, okay, so could you come tomorrow? Could you come today? I remember back in Bible college days when people weren't prepared for tests. It was like, oh, maybe Jesus will come before we have to take the test, you know? And it's like, I don't think it works that way. I don't think that's how the plan is. But if you have friends and loved ones and relatives and neighbors, and if you even care about the nations, if you even care about the addicted and the broken and the bruised and the wounded that are just fumbling around in the dark, and they're lost. You don't want to jump up and say, oh, come today, Lord. Could you help me today to make a difference in their lives? Mm-hmm. Could you help me to somehow have some insight, some gift, some method, some way of impacting their lives and bringing them into the faith of Christ, bringing them into a confrontational place where they see this grace of the Lord that has appeared, and that this training that has happened for me could happen for them. There's this blessedness is that we can be a blessing to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so we have a blessed hope that the coming kingdom is a reality, but we want everybody to know that it's coming. So this is the urgency with which we live our lives.
You know, we talk about the blessed hope, and so many people say they believe that. That's something that they believe, but they don't live with that hope, because ultimately hope is just simply an expectation to experience. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have an expectation to experience the blessed hope, you're not going to live in that. And you think about when Jesus came the first time, there were Simeon and Anna that were in the temple. They lived with a hope. They expected to experience the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And their expectation was fulfilled. Now, if you live with that expectation and you go in death, it's still going to be fulfilled. If you live with that expectation and he comes, you're going to experience it. Well, you're going to experience it. So when you live with that expectation and you expect to experience it, then now you just said, you live differently. It just changes, because now you want to take as many people with you as you possibly can. Because here's the thing. There is a coming kingdom, and here's the beauty of it, is that there's a gloriousness about the appearing of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live long in this world and experience the bad stuff, because there's no shortage of bad stuff, bad leaders, criminals, hurtful parents, hurtful kids, hurtful neighbors. Hurt is just nonstop. And in fact, I've often thought that, you know, when God comes to Cain and he says, you know, did you think that I wouldn't hear Abel's blood crying out? And I think about all the bloodshed, you know, here in America, of the 50 plus million babies that have been aborted, and in other places of the world where tribe goes against tribe, where greedy men use armed forces to get more for themselves, and all the blood that must cry out to the Lord on a continual basis. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ, as he came the first time, and he came in the first time, maybe a good example is this. If he came the first time as the moon, he was the reflective light of the Father in heaven. But when he comes the next time, he's coming as the brilliance of the sun. And he's going to come and he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives. And there's going to be such power in him, in the moment of him stepping foot back on this earth, that the Mount of Olives is going to split. Yeah. It's going to come apart. And the armies of the enemy are going to be destroyed. Every person who ever shed blood, who never came to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, who never put their life in him, are now going to answer for everything that they've ever done. And that's going to be done through Jesus Christ. And there's going to be this rule and reign that is going to take place for 1,000 years, where Jesus Christ is going to live amongst us. And here's the beauty of it. Since we already have this life in him, this life in him is in faith, and we're going to go in this moment, during these days, during these 1,000 years, we're going to go to him physically. And we're going to interact in a way that we had already been interacting with, but now it's done physically. Now the realms have come together. The spiritual realm and the natural realm are there. And we get to experience that for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to be exciting. I think that as it all unfolds, Jesus Christ and his reign and rulership is going to grow and expand in its glory. And the reason it's going to grow and expand in his glory is that those of us that have gone before, we rule and reign with him. We are kings and priests. So there are going to be people who live through the tribulation period. The world's going to be repopulating, and we're going to be a part of his kingdom in a new and a dynamic way that is going to be incredibly joyous for us. But Jesus Christ is going to grow in his fame. We're going to be going around in the same manner going, hey, I know that your temptation is to go off on yourself. And you saw what happened to the other guy because he's ruling and reigning with this iron scepter and poof, he was gone. You don't want to go there. But what you really want to do is you want to step into the goodness of the Lord. You want to experience him. And so if we get to live in that. We get to enjoy that. Now for us in our resurrected state, whatever our glorified bodies are ultimately like, we don't struggle with the temptation piece. We're not living in that dynamic. We're still leading people into an ever-growing, living, loving, and learning relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as never before, we're going to recognize the beauty and the opportunity to lead people continuously and nonstop to Jesus Christ so their life also might be in him. And so, listen, we look forward to that kind of glory.
Amen. That's why he said that a part of how we should pray right here and now in this present age is thy kingdom come and thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. So come and rule and reign. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the prayer of believing people because this is the glory of the King. And he rights the ship. He rights the wrongs. There's the beauty of it all. The wicked don't win. Darkness doesn't prevail. Inhumanity doesn't rule the day. Righteousness rules the day. Life and grace and peace and hope and health and help and all the glory that is in him is manifest to us. And now the veil that we talk about separating us, this idea that somehow, you know, we're removed, at least one step removed from the magnificence of this glorious relationship with God, is removed forever. And so in this idea of the coming kingdom and then the kingdom come, we are now face to face. We are hand to hand, mano a mano. We are in this loving, living relationship with, and what is described here by Paul to Titus, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oof. This is the King of the kingdom. This is the King of glory. This is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is him in all of his glorious fullness. And I love the phrasing, the great God, the mega God. You know, this is like when you see him, you're not going to go, oh, okay. You're just going to go, oh, wow. This is the glorious Savior, the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got to get this because, you know, is he God or is he Savior? Yes. Yeah. You know, is he the ruler or is he the sacrificer? Yes. Is he the price setter or the price payer? Yes. Because even when in John's vision in the Revelation, there's a time when a scroll is seen by him, and the weight of it, the import of it is just powerfully upon his spirit, impressed upon him. And he actually hears the weeping and the crying and the groaning that in heaven and on earth, where is anyone found who is worthy to take the scroll and to unlock it, to unfold the future, to own it and rule it? Is there any answer anywhere? Is there anyone anywhere? And John speaks of it saying, I joined the weeping. I wept too. And then someone said, oh, no, it's okay. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals. There is a victor. There's a conquering great God. There's a great King. And then in his excitement, it's like, okay, open my eyes, look. And when he looks, he sees a lamb as that had been slain that marches in and rips open the seals of the scroll. The Lion is the Lamb. The Lamb is the lion. It's the great God who is our Savior. And he has a name, Jesus, the Christ. Amen. And this is why we get excited, because this is the glorious reality of what it is that we're looking for. This is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the appearing. This is the glory of the blessed hope. The glory that appears is the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And unto the King, here's Paul's prayer praying with, I think it's for Timothy. Unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is the reality. He is coming as I love that picture, as the glorious shining of the sun, not just the reflection of the moon, but the glorious fullness of the sun, so that his kingdom is forever established, and he is forever established as King of kings and Lord of lords. And so our prayer is that as a response to this, you know, what do we do? How do we respond to this glorious appearing, to this reality, to this business that time is just a tiny little piece of this glorious eternal reign of God? How do we respond to that? We respond with passion and with urgency. We respond by a yieldedness of our souls to the Lord. We respond as people who are moved to be different, to be changed by this, to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. While we live in this present age, we share the glory of this hope with everyone, everywhere, every day, in the hope that they will end up on the right side of this equation as well. Because the reality is, he is coming. Yeah. The kingdom is coming, and it's the King who is coming. And we want you to be on the side of the people who are going, oh, this is great. This is getting better every day. This is the glorious God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for us, Rich.
Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that you've placed this hope before us. We know that, Lord, we have stepped into it, and it's our prayer that everybody steps into it so that, Lord, they can, in the most positive, wonderful way, experience the eternal God, our great and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, yes, every day, everywhere. But most importantly, Lord, as we look forward, that we might be able to experience you and when you return in that great and glorious day. We look forward to it. Help us, Lord, to live with a passion and an urgency, Lord, so that ultimately we do live the Christ life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.